Guys, that's wonderful. Let's go to Colossians 3 tonight. We're in the New Testament book of Colossians chapter 3. I rejoice in this ministry that we started. It's not just soul saved, it's people in church. 23 in the newcomers class this morning. And we were missing some very faithful people for the Memorial Day weekend. It would have put us up about 27, 28. And that's just a blessing, folks, to have that many new people in church here. Adults, okay? And they're bringing kids, of course, and that's wonderful. Tracy and Andrea made it okay over to the Philippines, Brother Dave. All right, you're doing all right, surviving okay. Don't forget them. Tracy and Andrea over visiting Brother Charlie. And, of course, I mentioned the Gellises this morning. They're headed out after this week. And after today, they'll be gone through August, or till August. So you pray for them. If you haven't seen little Abby, stop by and catch them before they leave. She's a cute little girl, and we rejoice with them and little Abigail. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read verses 8 through 14. A little bit lengthier passage than what we normally would read, but it's all right for us to read the Bible out loud. It helps us. It's a good thing. And 8 through 14 here, okay, if you join me on the odd verses. So Colossians 3:8 says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Father, thank you for your book and for this portion of your book. And I pray tonight that you'll help us as a church to grasp a truth, God, that may help us tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday to live for you. Lord, I believe that all of us could benefit from this wonderful truth from your word tonight. So give us a ready mind to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open. Could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost. Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life.
Teenage conference really up in recently up in Canada, a 17, 18-year-old man stood and gave a testimony. He said, I thought, very honestly, he said, I may be smiling on the outside, but I am hurting on the inside. He told a story about his mother being killed and how it hurt him so bad. And you know, that's the truth, isn't it? People can put a smile on their face, but boy, the inside is sometimes just in turmoil, and they need the Lord. And I appreciate the good song. You know, a preacher gets himself in trouble when he starts looking for something new in the Bible that nobody has heard. He'll end up in trouble because that's an area where you preach the old stuff. Singers get in trouble. People get in trouble when they look for some new song. We don't have to have new songs. The old songs work. Okay? The old songs work. If you and I can't be blessed by the old song, something's wrong with us. Okay? You know, the old truths of the Word of God ought to stir our hearts and bless us every time we hear them preached. And the same is true about music. And so let's just stay on course with our music. And that was a wonderful song. Thank you, Ryan, for that. All right, at the end of, or in verse number 9, at the end of it, you'll see the words, put off the old man. And at the beginning of verse number 10, you'll see the words, put on the new man. I want to speak tonight on this subject. Suppose. Just one word, suppose. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the good music that touched our hearts. Thank you for the number of folk that have been involved in outreach ministry this spring. God, help us not to falter this summer. Help us to stay faithful. Help us to occupy, in fact, Jesus, through the summer until the day that you come. Help us to be busy because people need you. Jesus, I pray that you'll help us to be effective this summer as we talk about you on the streets and from the pulpit, in our Sunday school classrooms, and other places. Lord, please bless the message tonight to our hearts. Give me liberty, and give us, I pray, an unction and a help. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Suppose I was in a large city, walking late at night back to a motel room, when a huge 280-pound muscular man stepped out of the shadows and challenged me to a fight. Muscles rippling from his shoulders, his chest, 6'8", 280 pounds. The winner gets to keep, if I win, I get to keep my wallet. If he wins, he gets to take my wallet. I probably would just hand it over to him. Unless, suppose the nature of Cassius Clay were to enter into me. Then, I would float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Amen. And for some of you young folks, you got to know that Cassius Clay, that was his name before he became Muhammad Ali, all right? So that's what you got to know. But then I maybe could whoop him and keep my wallet, knock him out. Suppose I was challenged to a foot race, a 100-meter dash. Now, I like yards as opposed to meters, but in the Olympics, they use meters. So a 100-meter dash. The winner was to take an authentic Olympic gold medal home. But the man who challenged me to the 100-meter dash had run this dash in a time of 9.85. If you don't know, that's pretty fast. Okay, it's definitely faster than I could run. I would lose the race before it started. Unless, suppose the nature of Usain Bolt were to enter into me. Then I can run it in 9.58 and take home the gold medal. Suppose I was challenged to a chess match by a man who had several major chess championships under his belt. And the winner was to receive an expense-paid world tour visiting 20 major cities over a period of 6 months. I would fail miserably. My wife used to regularly beat me at Stratego. I mean, I would fail horribly, okay? I don't know why I could beat her at Racco, but I could never win at Stratego. Never. And so we quit playing Stratego, play Racco all the time. And that's how it goes. Now, I wouldn't stand a chance in a chess match unless, suppose, the nature of Bobby Fischer, who was the reigning world chess champion for 3 years, from 1972 to 1975, were to enter into me. And I would win the chess match, and I would be off to visit London, Paris, Rome, Tokyo, Sydney, and the other cities on my world tour. Now, those are far out and unrealistic scenarios, but they illustrate the truth that I hope that we'll grasp tonight. Listen carefully. Every day, and usually several times in the course of our day, we are challenged by someone smarter, wiser, stronger than us. Who is this challenger? This is the old man who lives in each one of us. Who is the old man? Well, he is the nature that you and I received at conception, the nature that we were born with. He is the nature that we came into this world with. He is sinful. He is selfish. He is strong. His attributes are described for us in this passage in verse number 8. Look at them. The attributes of the old man are anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of the mouth. That's not just talking about or limited to profanity. That is talking about ugly talk. That's talking about mean talk. That's talking about hateful talk, demeaning talk, disdaining talk, disgusting talk, despiteful talk. That's what it's talking about there. His other attributes are lying and unforgiveness. Doesn't that sound delightful? Well, that sounds like a blessing. But that is our old man. And by the way, all of these have to do with our inner person, our spirit. Certainly it is important that we look like a Christian in our dress, in our apparel, in our behavior out in public. But it is also important, friend, that we act like a Christian at home. And around those who are most familiar with us, around those with whom we let our hair down and are most transparent, those with whom we work, lost people that live in our neighborhood, it is important that our spirit reflect the Spirit of Christ. Very vitally important. Now, Paul said this. Paul said to put these off. He said, put them away. Put away anger. Put away wrath. Put away malice. Put away blasphemy. Put away this filthy communication and this talk that's degrading. Put away lying. Put away pride. Put away an unforgiving spirit. Put them away. But let me ask you a question. How are we to do that against this old man who has resided in our bodies since birth and has only gotten stronger and faster and wiser over the course of our life? Truth of the matter is, all of us are hopeless against this old man. We are doomed to get beat up. We are doomed to be outrun. We are doomed to be outsmarted. We are doomed to lose unless, suppose, the nature of someone stronger, faster, and wiser than the challenger would enter into us. Can somebody say the new man? Because that's exactly the truth. Who is the new man? The new man is the one who was created in us by the Spirit of God the moment we receive salvation by trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let me say tonight that if you're visiting or you're a member here, like a teenage boy just recently in our church. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the old man is the dominant man in your life. In fact, there is no new man. The new man does not exist within you. It's the old man ruling the day, day after day after day after day after day. And if you die with the old man ruling the day, you're going to split hell wide open someday. People need the Lord. And as soon as you get saved, the new man is created in us by the Spirit of God. He was created in us, and he is described in this passage in verse number 12 as holy, merciful, kindness, humility, meek, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, charity or love, peace, and thankfulness. Whoa, wouldn't those attributes make for a delightful marriage relationship? Come on now. Wouldn't those make for a delightful home atmosphere? As opposed to anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and all this filthy communication and yelling, wouldn't it be a delightful thing? Wouldn't those attributes be welcome in our home and produce peace and love and thankfulness? Wouldn't those attributes go a long way in helping us be a witness for Christ at work? Wouldn't those attributes be a great help in establishing a secure and stable, peaceful inner person to live with individually? Friend, the first scenarios that I described for us are unreal. They're fictional. About me meeting a man and the spirit of Cassius Clay, the nature of Cassius Clay entering into me. Or being challenged to a chess match and the nature of Bobby Fischer entering into me. The nature of Usain Bolt. Those are all fictional things. That's unreal. That can't happen. But the new nature is not fictional. The new nature is truth. It's reality. And He lives inside of us. And Paul said, put Him on. Put Him on. Now, people, the reality is that God did not create the new man within us so that we could be physically stronger, faster, and wiser. The new man has been created within us so that we can live like Jesus Christ. So that we can have a peaceful life, we can have a peaceful marriage, a peaceful home atmosphere that is void of anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication, lying, and unforgiveness. That's why there's a new man. So that we can live victoriously over all the attributes of the old man. The new man is the opposite of the old man. And when we are challenged by the old man to live according to his attributes, the new man is there for us to put on and live by his attributes. And that would be a wonderful thing if God's people would begin to obey this passage of Scripture about putting off that old man and putting on the new. Marriages would be strengthened. Homes would be changed. The atmosphere in many homes in this room would be completely different than it has been the last 7, 14, or 21 days. And the potential is there in the person of the new man. Paul said, put that old man off. Put that new man on. How does this happen? Let me say three quick things quickly tonight and we'll be done. Number one, there must be some personal responsibility. Some personal responsibility. Verse number 8 says, but now ye also. And verse number 9 says, ye have put off the old man. You see, it's up to me and it's up to you. Somewhere, somehow, you and I must take some personal responsibility to put off the old man. You know what we ought to do, folks? We ought to get tired of him. We ought to get sick of him. We ought to get disgusted about him. We ought to get weary of him and decide that the old man has to go. You know, we will never get hungry for the new man to be in control until we get sick and tired of the old man. You know, aren't you tired of the anger? Aren't you tired of the wrath? Aren't you tired of the communication that is confrontational and degrading and disdainful and despicable? Aren't you tired of that? And if not, why not? Why aren't you tired of that? You know, do you really enjoy the attributes of the old man? Does it not sicken you? Does it not sicken you? If not, then I believe you really must check to see if there's a new man living within you. Really must check. I lived in Iowa for 10 years. You folks know that. My father-in-law was a hog farmer. I've said this many times. I saw thousands and thousands of hogs in the days that I lived in Iowa. Washington County, Iowa, was one of the largest hog-producing counties in the nation for years and years and years. Turned out thousands of hogs. I mean, thousands of them. I drove by confinement buildings, large farms with huge confinement buildings. People, the men in the church had confinement buildings. I would pop in there every once in a while. There's nothing more stinky than a hog building. And all you got to do is be in there for about 5 seconds and you smell like the hogs when you come out. In all those years in Iowa, in all those hogs, I never saw an unhappy hog in a mud puddle. You know that. And you know the mud and the muck that they belly up in, and friend, they just waddle down in that stuff and they enjoy it. That's their nature. And your old man and my old man loves his attributes. My old man loves his anger. My old man loves his wrath. My old man loves his filthy communication. My old man loves his malice. My old man loves his unforgiving, grudge-holding spirit. My old man loves his lying. Loves it. But the new man can't stand any of that stuff. The new man is disgusted by those things. And if there is no hunger, no desire, no hint of longing for the attributes of the new man, then maybe he isn't living within. Because he can't stomach the old man. Friend, there ought to be some personal responsibility in this thing. If you and I would get sick of the old man, hey, just get sick of him. I mean sick of him, tired of him, disgusted with him. And if we don't get sick of him and disgusted with him, we will never enjoy the attributes of the new man. There must be some personal responsibility in this thing. You and I must take some action. We must get sick and tired of the old man's attributes. I'm not real handy around the house. I'm just not. My dad worked that job at General Motors. It was a consuming job, and Dad took care of his cars and took care of his yard. And he wasn't one really to fix a lot of things around the house. I'm not super handy around the house, but I have learned over the years how to do some things as opposed to paying somebody $30 and $40 an hour to do it for me. Now, it may not be done with the quality that they do it, but it gets done and it looks all right. My problem is that it takes a while before I get sick of something that needs to be fixed. I guess that's not my problem. I guess that's my wife's problem, okay? And she lives with it. And she does real good. I have a bathroom right now that is in need of some attention. And slowly but surely, I'm getting sick of it. I'm getting tired of it. And when I go in there and I'm in the restroom shaving or something, I'm seeing what needs to be done. And slowly but surely, I'm just getting sick and more sick and more sick of seeing this. And one of these days, she's going to come home to find that thing in a mess. I'm going to have the walls stripped. I'm going to have things off the wall. I'm going to have all the hooks and all the towel racks and everything torn off. And I know that's going to happen because it's happened in other rooms in the house in the past 20 years that we've lived out there. I just finally get to the place where, you know what? I know this needs to be fixed, and I'm sick of living in it like this, so here goes. And the truth of the matter is, we'll never enjoy the attributes of the new man until we get good and sick of the old man. Now, my question is, how long is it going to take? Hear me carefully, Dad and Mom, with children in your home, you don't have the luxury of taking your time to get sick of the old man. You don't have that luxury. If children are growing up in your home, those children need a peaceful, thankful, happy, joyous atmosphere in which to grow up and to live. And I want to tell you something. If some of us don't get sick of our old man real quick, we're going to be hurting. Hurting. There has to be some personal responsibility in this thing. Get sick of the old man. Get disgusted of the old man. Get tired of the old man. Take some personal responsibility concerning the old man. So there must be some personal responsibility. And then number two, there must be some personal accountability. This is different than responsibility. You see, the attributes of the new man will never be enjoyed while we are refusing to be accountable concerning our old man. People look for an opportunity to put the blame on for their negligence when it comes to the old man. They look for the opportunity to put the blame in so many areas or put the blame on somebody else. They want to put the blame on parents or put the blame on grandparents or put the blame on the family I grew up in and the circumstances of our finances and our troubles and my problem at work and so forth and so on. Listen, folks, there is no argument that we are influenced by what is going on around us. The things that we see and hear through our eye gate and our ear gate. Don't forget that Lot vexed his righteous soul by seeing and hearing. That's what the Bible said. Their unlawful deeds. Yes, we are influenced by what went on around us as we were growing up. And if you grew up in an atmosphere of anger and wrath and malice and filthy communication, and bear in mind, when I say filthy communication, I'm not limiting that to profanity. I'm saying filthy communication, like talking down, ugly, mean-spirited. I'm talking about words that don't uplift and encourage and build. If you grew up in that kind of atmosphere, then obviously you were under the influence of those the old man's attributes. And I'm here to say tonight that that's not helpful. But you've got to hear this. You must hear this. Please hear this. This is not the reason you're having trouble with those same things. It's not the reason. The reason you're having trouble with those same things is because the stinking, sickening sewer trap called the old man lives within you. That's the reason. And you got to stop blaming it on dad or mom or wife or children, or parents. Look, your wife is not the cause of your anger, and your husband is not the cause of your hatred, and your child is not the cause of your malice, and your parent is not the cause of your filthy words. It's you. It's you. It's me. It's personal accountability. Personal accountability. And by, believe me, friend, the old nature is pretty filthy. Now, I understand that many of you have become aware of a situation in the state of Texas where a man that we prayed for many months with cancer got into some horrible, horrible sin. It was arrested for a crime that's just horrible. And then 3 days later hung himself in the jail. I know about a pastor of a church. One of his pictures back there on the wall with mine and five other men on our first bear hunt. And people have asked me, Brother Angel, what do you think happened? And what about this? And how do you feel about it? How does this happen? And what do you think? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I can't waste my time thinking on that. I don't know. I don't have the answers to all that. I'm not going to waste time and energy on stuff that I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. Every one of us has the same old nature living in us that brother did. Every one of us. And I will forget the words of Jim Vineyard. If a Christian goes for 30 days without his Bible, he can do anything. Anything. You say, well, was he saved? I don't know. I have no idea. I cannot waste my time trying to figure out, was the brother saved or lost? Was he, you know, what about the judgment? I can't think about all that, folks. I can't determine. That's between him and his God. I'll tell you what I think about. Old Terry Angel, you better watch your step. You better watch your step, Buster. You better make sure that you take care of yourself spiritually. You better make sure that you put off the old man and you take some responsibility for the old man and you take some accountability for the old man and the things that you're struggling with in your life and your spirit, Terry Angel, that aren't right and aren't according to God's Word. You better not look to blame it on this person or this circumstance or this situation. It's nothing more than just my old, stinking, sorry, filthy old nature. Take some accountability. Some personal accountability. It's not my mother or my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Friend, you understand, your spouse, your child, your parents, your co-workers may not be the easiest people to live with, but your new man is made to conquer your old man, not theirs. That's what we want to do. We want to fix them. Quit worrying about them. Get you fixed. Take some personal responsibility. Take some personal accountability. By the way, if you want to pray for somebody, you pray for his wife and his four children and his church. And Brother Danny Reynolds and Amy are there. Heart broken. I had to listen to Danny weep like a little child. It's horrible. Horrible. I feel for the cause of Christ more than anything. Raises suspicion on everybody. What's he doing when he goes out of town? I'm going to tell you something, friend. I may not always say if I'm going out of town where I'm going because we have visitors in the service usually on Sunday night, and I'm not going to advertise that my wife and daughter are going to be home alone by themselves for 2 days. But my wife always knows where I am. My staff always knows where I am. I'm not going to go off for a week and a half on a foray and nobody knows where I'm at. That's not real smart. I'm just saying that we've got to take some personal responsibility and some personal accountability for the old man. How? How do we defeat this old man full of anger and wrath and blasphemy and malice and filthy communication and pride, unforgiveness and hatefulness? It just destroys a life, destroys a marriage, destroys a home, destroys kids, destroys peace, destroys joy. How are we going to put on this new man who is kind and merciful and loving and tender-hearted and patient and forgiving? How are you going to do that? Well, there's got to be some personal responsibility. We've got to get sick of the old man. There's got to be some personal accountability. It's not my wife. It's not my children. It's not your husband. Number three, there must be some personal availability. You say, what do you mean by personal availability? Well, in this passage, in verse number 15 and 16, you'll find the words let. Let the peace of God rule. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In a companion passage, don't turn to it, in Ephesians 4:28, you'll read the word let. And in Ephesians 4:29, you'll read the word let. You see, friend, you and I must make ourselves available for the new man to employ his attributes. We have to put ourselves in a position so that the new man will rule the day, not the old man. It's called availability. It's called Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the attributes of the new man. And you won't fulfill the attributes of the old man. Make yourself available to the new man. Give him the opportunity to rule the day. Get the old man out of the way. And get the new man to rule your day. Now suppose tomorrow morning, when we wake up, the old man says, "Hey, you, I'm in charge today. You will do as I say. You'll respond as I want you to. You will be angry. You'll be ugly. You'll be mean. You'll be quarrelsome. You'll be unforgiving. You'll be hateful to your spouse, to your parents, people in your neighborhood, to your Christian brother. You will do as I say." We probably would do just that. Unless, suppose, we said, "Dear Holy Spirit, I was just challenged by the old man, and he threatened to rule my day. I'm sick of him. I'm tired of him. I do not want to live with anger and malice and wrath and hate, bitterness, ugly words spewing out of my mouth. So, Holy Spirit, I give myself to you today. Would you please give the new man the power to defeat the old man? And help me live in kindness and mercy and forgiveness and peace today. Just suppose. Our Heavenly Father, would you please bless the truth to our hearts tonight? I think that's enough. I think all of us understand the battle that goes on in our hearts and lives every day. Every day the old man challenges us. And every day we're doomed to lose. Unless, suppose, the nature of that new man rules the day. Oh, may we take responsibility. And may we take accountability. And may there be availability for the new man to rule the day in our hearts. And create, God, all those wonderful attributes that he possesses that will change us, our marriages, our homes, our influence. Oh, God, just suppose we all woke up and gave him the day tomorrow. Speak to our hearts tonight.